Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We're getting Baruch Hashem close to the end of the Masechta. We're going to finish off the penultimate chapter, Perek Tes Vav, today, and start Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, the very last chapter in this beautiful long Masechta. So we begin the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Yud Ches, Amud Beis. And the Mishnah tells us, Achas Omeris Meis, Achas Omeris Lo Meis. We have two tzaros. Rashi sets up the situation and tells us, Shnei Noshin Tzaros, Habos Mivdina Sayyam. Two co-wives, who husband went on a business trip with them across the seas, and they both come back and they have a different story. Achas Omeris Beis Bali, Vitzaros Omeris Lo Meis. So the scenario is, one of the co-wives says, our husband died, and the other co-wife says, he did not die. So, Zu Shomeris Meis, the one that says that the husband died, is permitted Tinasi to get married, Besito Ksubasa, and to go and collect the Ksuba. This is a classical case of Eid Echad Neman. There was no fighting between them. This was not a time of Muhammad, as we learned in the last few days. So she is believed that her husband is dead, and she's allowed to remarry, and even so far as to go and collect the Ksuba. Whereas the co-wife that said, no, he's not dead, Zu Shomeris Lo Meis, so Lo Tinase, Velosito Ksubasa. She's not allowed to go and get married because she states her husband's still alive. And she certainly can't collect her Ksuba because her husband is still alive. Even though this is directly contradicted by the other tzara. And you have the paradox of one tzara going off with her life and getting married, and the other tzara is still being considered a married woman. Nevertheless, this is the din that we have, that the tzaras are one of the five women that aren't believed to testify, so therefore the testimony of the first tzara that the husband is dead is not believed for the second tzara. Now, the Mishnah then gives us another case, Achas Omeris Meis, Achas Omeris Nerak. Here we have both of them saying that the husband is not alive, but the first co-wife says that he died a natural death. He died, Meis. The second one says, no, he was killed, Achas Omeris Nerak. So these are testimonies that are machishos zu ezu. So here you have the opinion of a mayor, that says, Rav Meir Omer, ho, machshishos zuzu. They're contradicting each other. Hare elu lo yinosu. They can't get married. Each one, even though it's a co-wife that's testifying against them. So Rav Meir's opinion is that when they're contradicting each other, so then in this situation, they're not allowed to go and get married. Each one can't go and get married based upon their own opinion. The obvious question which the Gemara will address is, well, what about the Reisha? The Reisha, they were contradicting each other also. And yet we seem to say that one is allowed to get married and the other one is not. So one of the terutz, or the simplest terutz in the world, would be that Rav Meir argues on the Reish as well, and he just mentions it over here. We'll see other terutzim when we get to it, but that's the simplest way to understand the Mishnah. So Rav Meir argues over here because they're disagreeing with each other, their testimonies are contradictory to each other, as they are in the Reish, and the simple ways that he argues in the Reish as well. So, in this situation, Rav Meir certainly says, Hareyu elu lo inosu. Neither one is allowed to go get married because they're being contradicted by the other one. And even though it's a tzara, Rav Meir says, when there's contradictory evidence, so then they can't get married. However, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Omrim, Hoel, Vizu, Vizu, Modos, Sheino Kayim. Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon say, listen, both of them are saying that the husband is dead. What difference does it make if one says he died a natural death and one says he was actually killed? Bottom line is, they both say the husband is dead, so both of them are allowed to go and get married. Inosu. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Finally, the Mishnah concludes with the following case. Eid Omer Meis, Eid Omer Lo Meis. You have one witness that comes along and says that the husband is dead. And another witness that comes along and says that the husband is not dead. And again, the simplest way to understand this is that they both come at the same time before you had the opportunity to be mobbed to the woman to get married based upon the testimony of the first witness. There are those that disagree with this understanding. Again, this is the simplest understanding. And we turn to Kuf Yud Ches Omer Aleph. Or if you even have a situation where Ishomeris Meis, Ishomeris Lo Meis, it's not a bona fide valid witness. But as we said, we accept in these situations even women or avodim to testify or even hearsay evidence to be allowed. So here you have Ishomeris Meis, Ishomeris Lo Meis. So then, Harezu Lo Sinase. So then, since the simple understanding is, as Rashi says in the very top, Rashi, Ho Ubosh Shnaim Kodem Shiatirua Api Rishona, since no psak was given, which would have been acceptable if only one witness came, a qualified witness or not qualified witness, who says that the husband's dead, then we would have accepted that, and then once we accept that, a single witness can't come along and ruin it. So the simple understanding of Rashi is that the second witness came before we paskin, and therefore we have two witnesses that are disagreeing with each other, both on the same level. Either both are kosher edim, one says he's dead, one said he's not dead, or it's a woman who says that he's dead, a woman says he's not dead. So in this situation, we can't permit the woman to get married. Zu lo sinase. Gemara starts off and tells us, Taima, the first case, the understanding was, according to the Tanakhama of a Mishnah, that if one tzara says that the husband is dead, and the other tzara said that he's not dead, then we only listen to the tzara for herself and don't allow the tzar who said that the husband's still alive to go get married. So the impression that the Gemara has is only taima de omer lo meis, because the second tzar said, no, our husband is alive. Had she been silent, however, ha ishtika tinase, the simple understanding would be that if she hadn't said anything, said, I don't know, and if you're saying he's dead, I don't know otherwise, so then she would be allowed to go and get married. However, the Gemara says, how could that possibly be? As we pointed out in yesterday's shir and in previous shir, the tzara is one of those five women that we don't believe because there's a ketata, there's an intrinsic potential hatred between them, and maybe she's only saying that the husband died in order to get the other woman into trouble, to get her co-wife to go marry somebody else, and boom, the first husband will come back and she's out of the picture. So we don't believe a tzara. So the implication over here is incorrect. You're telling me it's only because she said lo meis that we don't allow her to get married. Implication being ha yishtika, that we would allow her to, but it can't be because then a tzara is believing in the testimony. So one says no. In fact, the tzara is not believing in the testimony. But lo meis, it's trichale. We have to specifically give the situation where the second co-wife says he did not die, he's still alive. That was a chiddush in that statement because I might have thought so. She, in fact, knows that the husband's dead. After all, the first one probably is telling us the truth that the husband's dead. She wouldn't be making this up out of the blue. And the second one, when she says lo mace, she's just doing it to cause trouble to her co-wife. She, for whatever reason, isn't interested in getting married. So she says, well, I don't want her to go on and live a happily ever after life. I want her to suffer as well. So therefore, she's willing to say, behold, the karma slow mace is only lekalkula litzarihi to kumachavna. She's only interested in giving her a hard time. She doesn't want to get married. And this, we have the famous expression, the pasuk is really v'tomus nafshi, not nafshua, v'tomus nafshi implishtin, by the great Shimshon, when he goes and brings down the temple of Dagon. And he says, I don't mind dying here as long as I'm taking the vengeance for HaKadosh Baruch Hu on these people. So then, Tomus Nafshi Plishtin, Shimshon says, even if I die here, I'm making a Kiddush Hashem. So this is a famous expression for a person who is willing to suffer themselves some sort of problem or indignity or loss as long as somebody else is also suffering. So this second tzara is willing to say, no, our husband is alive, just so the first tzara shouldn't get married. That's what I might have thought. And therefore, when the second tzara says lo meis, I might have thought that she really knows that the husband is dead. And therefore, she's only doing this to be makalka, her tzara, the other wife. So I might have thought that we really would then let her get married. Kamash v'lo. No, even in that situation, where we have a very good reason to think that she herself also knows that her husband is dead, nevertheless, we don't believe her when she says lo meis. And therefore, this case, lo meis, it's trichalei that teaches this chiddush. Then we go to the next case in the Mishnah where it said, Achas Meres Meis V'chule. So you have one wife that said that the husband died a natural death, and the other wife said that the husband was killed. So Rav Meir said that these are Edus that's Machisho Zu and Zu, and therefore neither one can get married. Where it says, why didn't Rav Meir argue on the Reisha? Liflog Rav Meir Bereisha. They also were Machishos. One wife says that the husband is dead, the other wife said the husband's alive. How is that any different than one wife saying the husband died natural death, and the other wife saying the husband was murdered? That's also machishos. So why should there be any difference between these two first and second parts of the Mishnah? So as I mentioned, the simple and easiest teretz is Omer Rabbi Loza, you're 100% right, b'machlokes shinuya. Rav Meir argued on the first part as well. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and the Tanakama is really Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon who say no. In this situation, we say that the bottom line is both of them are saying that the husband is dead. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say they would believe them because the tzara's testimony can't ruin it for the other one. Just like in the Reisha, the tzara's testimony doesn't ruin it for the other one. So too, in the second part, the tzara's testimony doesn't ruin it for the other one. So this is a machlokas between Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in both the Reisha and in the second part as well. That's the simple teretz, that's Rabbi Loza's teretz. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan might know. One could even say that Rabbi Meir disagrees only in the second case, where there's actually machishos, the two testimonies, one that he died a natural death, the one that he died a murder, are contradictory to each other. But in the first case, where one said he's alive and the other one said he's dead, it's not called contradictory evidence. And behold, afilu Rabbi Meir moder. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Meir agrees that in the first case, the wife who says the husband's dead can remarry, and the wife who says the husband's not dead cannot remarry. Why is that? The chol lo meis, the edus isha, lav hachoshehi. Because the saying that the husband's not dead is not considered a hachosha to the first testimony. Why is that so? Rashi says, derabonon himnua likama. the simple understanding of Rashi. Again, others disagree with this, but we'll learn it nice and simple like Rashi, and in Tosos, Dibra Maskel, the Cholomes Beidus Isha, Lava Choshi, explains this Rashi in the way that I'm saying so now, albeit Tosos himself says there are those that disagree with this, but the bottom line is that Rashi says, when the first woman came along and said her husband is dead, so this was Paskin and based in that she's believed, and now the second wife coming along and saying that he's still alive is ignored. This is a regular case of the Beis Din gave her a het to go remarry, and therefore, when somebody else comes along and says that that's not true, the husband's still alive, we don't believe the second person. And therefore, that's why even Rav Meir would be more than Rav Yochanan says in the first case, that the woman who says that the husband is dead is allowed to remarry, and the wife that says the husband is still alive is not allowed to remarry. Or it says, wait a second, Tanan, look at the third part of our Mishnah. It said, Eid omer meis, ve omer lo meis, so isha omeris meis, isha omeris lo meis, hare zu lo sinase. Now, the third part of Mishnah seems to imply, even with the Tzara being the one that argues, and nevertheless, it seems to say that, even though we normally don't allow a Tzara's testimony to affect the other Tzara, here we seem to say that it does. And therefore, this is a kasha on Rav Yochanan, Mishlam or Rabbi Elazar, it's not a problem because stomach Rav Meir. So the third part goes like Rav Meir, and we know that Rav Meir argues with the opinion of Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, no problem. Just like he argues in the first part and in the second part, he also argues in the third part. And the third part is only according to Rav Meir. So therefore, there's no steerer here. However, because stomach ki Rav Meir, Elol Rav Yochanan, Kasha. According to Rav Yochanan, it's a problem because Rav Yochanan says that Rav Meir doesn't argue in the first part, and therefore, how come in the third part, which, if that's Rav Meir's opinion, so then Rav Meir shouldn't be arguing in the third part as well. He should be saying that it's not considered a hachosha. The whole lo meis be'edus isha lav hachoshahi. So therefore, in the third part, when one says one thing and one says another thing, they shouldn't be believed. That the Tzara's testimony shouldn't be believed. So this is a kasha on Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Meir. And the Gemara concludes and says, Taka, you're right, kasha. This is a kasha. Again, the word kasha doesn't mean the same as tiyufta, and some suggest that we, in this situation, still possibly like Rav Yochanan, which is the normal way that we pass Rav Yochanan over Rav Elazar. Rav Yochanan was the Rebbe, Rav Elazar was the Talmud, this is Rav Elazar ben Pedos, and in this situation, we should pass him like Rav Yochanan, even though we have a kasha yet, but it's not a tiyufta. Others disagree and say, no, that we've shlugged up Rav Yochanan, and we pass him like Rav Elazar. Now we go to the next Mishnah. A woman and her husband go off on a business trip to faraway land. And she returns Nebuch and she says her husband has passed away. What is the din? As we've already mentioned many times, the woman is believed as an Eid Echad. She was in peace with her husband. There was peace in the area. Therefore, the din is that she's believed and she's allowed to go remarry. And she's allowed to go and collect her ksuba. However, we said Vitzarasa Asura, but the co-wife is forbidden to go and get married based upon this testimony. And so much so, and here's the chiddush of this Mishnah, if the co-wife was a Bas Yisrael, and the husband, who the first wife is saying is dead, was a Kohen, so you're only allowed to eat as the wife of a Kohen while the Kohen is alive, so in that situation, nevertheless, she's still allowed to continue eating truma. Even though the first wife, the co-wife, who said that her husband is dead, is often married to somebody else. The husband's not longer around. Nevertheless, the Bas Yisrael, the second wife, is still allowed to continue eating truma based upon the fact that for her, the husband is still considered alive. Interesting then. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. That's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Rabbi Kiva totally disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Ein zu derech. Now we have the Girsa Motziato, but that's masculine, so it should be really feminine. Motziato. Midei Avera. That's not the right way to make sure that this woman doesn't do an Avera, because there's a possibility here that the first woman was telling the truth and the husband's really dead, and then she would be a Bas Yisrael who's eating truma. She's no longer married to a Kohen. She doesn't have the right to eat truma. So therefore, she's being over a major Isser every single time she eats truma. Even though it's not her fault, we don't know. So therefore, we have to give her the worst of both worlds. So she's not allowed to get remarried because maybe her husband's alive. But Rabbi Kiva says she's not allowed to go and eat truma anymore. Actually, asur linase, just like she can't go and get married, nevertheless, vasur melecho betruma, but she can't go and eat truma as well. And in this way, she's going to, in fact, not be over an Isser either way, because she can't be believed to go and get married because the Tzara is not believed for her. But at the same time, we are concerned enough that the Tzara is telling the truth that she can't go and eat truma anymore. Similarly, Amra, if the woman says, Meisli, is the gear said, we have Meisli Bali. The woman says, the husband passed away. So the woman went on a business trip overseas with the husband and with the father-in-law, her husband's father. And she says, first, that the husband died. We have this in yesterday's Gemara. And then she says that her father-in-law died. Now, at that point that she's saying that her father-in-law died, she technically is no longer a daughter-in-law. So technically, she should be believed. But as we pointed out in yesterday's Gemara, no, we still have a concern that she's saying something because she doesn't like her mother-in-law, so therefore she's trying to get her mother-in-law into trouble. Therefore, Tinase Visito Ksuba, she is personally allowed to go and get married and collect her Ksuba. Tinase Visito Ksubasa, however, Vechabosa, the mother-in-law is still considered to be married. The daughter-in-law is not believable in this sense. She's one of those five women that we don't believe to state that the husband is dying. And therefore, the mother-in-law remains considered married. And so much so, again, if the mother-in-law was a Bas Yisrael and the father-in-law was a Kohen, so Tochal B'Truma, she still is allowed to go and eat Truma, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, similar to the first case in the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon says the same thing over here. The Gemara will ask, why do we need two cases? We'll explain that momentarily in the Gemara. And Rabbi Kiva again disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no, Ein Zu Derech Motziya or Motziyato Midei Aveira. This isn't the right way to go and remove her from doing an Aveira, because after all, maybe the daughter-in-law is really correct that the husband is dead and she can't eat Truma anymore. But in this situation, we take the worst of both worlds, unfortunately, for her. Actually, Asruli Nasi, just like she's still not allowed to go and get married to somebody else because we assume her husband is alive, nevertheless, Masura Melecho Betruma, but we have to presume that maybe he really is dead and she can no longer eat Truma at this point in time. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, why do we need both of these two cases in the Mishnah to show the machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva? It seems that they're both telling us the same thing. First case was with two tzaras, and the second case was with a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. Why should there be a nafkamina or a difference between these two cases? So Gemara says, yes, there is, utzricha. Because the it marhach komaisa, if we only told the first case, which was dealing with the two co-wives, you know what I would have said? In that situation, boho, come Rabbi Tarfon. In that situation, Rabbi Tarfon says that we don't believe the co-wife at all, and therefore the remaining wife is still allowed to go and eat truma. Mishum ditzaro de gufa, because in this situation, there's a real kitata. These two co-wives have been competing for the affection of their husband their entire married lives, and therefore there's real hatred between them, and therefore we have to presume the worst, that the first wife is actually telling us a lie in order to get the second wife in trouble, and therefore that situation is, and only that situation, where Rabbi Tarfon says that we allow the second wife to still eat truma, because we're pretty certain that the first wife is just doing this to get the second wife into trouble. Avol chamosa, where the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, lav davka, is such an intrinsic hatred between them. No, often they don't get along, but there's not necessarily an intrinsic hatred in between them. The tzara, mile, the alma, it's only a little bit that they have this kitata, this fighting between them, and only a little bit do they get on each other's nerves. So, ema, modi, leila, Rabbi Kiva, in that situation, maybe Rabbi Tarfon would be modi to Rabbi Akiva, the taka, we shouldn't let her go and eat truma anymore, because probably the daughter-in-law is telling us the truth, and that the father-in-law really is dead, and therefore the mother-in-law can no longer go and eat truma. So I might have thought that Rabbi Tarfon would agree to Rabbi Kiva in that situation. And therefore, that's why you have to tell us that situation, that Rabbi Tarfon disagrees even in that situation. Just tell me that situation. Be it my baha. I would have said, if you only had the case with the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, so baha come Rabbi Kiva. There, Rabbi Kiva says, in that situation, that we have to be concerned, even when the ketata between them is not so great. Nevertheless, Rabbi Kiva says, you have to go and make sure that the mother-in-law doesn't eat truma. But Abu Bahach, in the case of the two co-wives, where even Rabbi Kiva says the hatred is really great, maybe he's moda, ema moda lo, le Rabbi Tarfon. Maybe Rabbi Kiva would be moda Rabbi Tarfon, that in this situation, we really have to assume that the first wife is lying, and therefore the second wife would be allowed to go eat truma tzricha. That's why each case was needed to show the strength of Rabbi Tarfon and show the strength of Rabbi Akiva, respectively, in those two scenarios. How do we paskin or review the Mishmuel, halachi Rabbi Tarfon, paskin Rabbi Tarfon? And Abaye says, I'll show you that this is correct from a Mishnah we're going to learn in a moment on the Omud base. I'm reviewed on Mishmuel, halachas Rabbi Tarfon, and Abaye says, I'm Abaye, afanan namitinina. We learn the same thing in the Mishnah that we're going to learn momentarily. It says, nitan li ben bimdina sayam. If a woman went off with her husband, that they had no children when she left. And then she says, when she comes back, that she did have a child overseas, nitan li ben bimdina sayam. However, meiz bini v'yachakach bali. But Nebuch, my child died, and only afterwards my husband died. In other words, she's not changing around the halachic status that she had, the chazaka that she had, that she was going to be mechuyeves in yibam. She left childless, and she's returning now and saying, I'm still mechuyeves in yibam, that I unfortunately lost my husband, and even though I had a child, the child died first, meaning that I'm still mechuyeves in yibam. So in this situation, we didn't know anything about the child, and she tells us that the child died before the father died, so then Nemena, she's believed, and she would be allowed to be undergoing Yibam with her brother-in-law. However, if she says, Bali, v'achakach bini, if she were to say, however, that her husband died first and only after their child died, and saying, therefore, that she is not mukhuyevis in Yibam, so then Eino Nemena, she's not believed, because she doesn't have the chazaka, and in this situation, we don't permit it to say that she's not undergoing Yibam in this situation. However, we won't let her go Yibam because she's saying that she's not Mukhuyevis in Yibam. The we are concerned about what she said. And in this situation, we make her undergo Chalitza, albeit we won't let her undergo Yibam, but we won't let her go perfectly scot-free as well. And therefore, for her, we're concerned with what she said. However, but if she had a co-wife, the co-wife would be allowed to undergo Yibam, ain choshishin. Shema mina, the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon from this next Mishnah, where it seems to imply that the co-wife doesn't have to be concerned, so that's saying that the co-wife in this situation doesn't take any hidden credence to the statement that the first wife made that the husband is dead, and she still is even allowed to go and eat truma, because for her point of view, from her perspective, the husband is still alive, and therefore, even though she's a Bas Yisrael, she's allowed to eat truma with her husband, the Kohen. We presume that he's still alive. And this, Abaye says, is right from the Mishnah that we're going to learn on the Amud Beis. Now, first, we have another Mishnah, and we turn to the Amud Beis, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and we learn another Mishnah, which again shows us this machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. So the Mishnah tells us, Kidesh Achas Mechomesh Noshim, if a man was married, he did what right now we're going to assume is just Kiddushin. He did the first stage of marriage. We'll see in a moment that that may not be the case. But right now we're assuming that when he just did Kiddushin, he didn't actually live with any of these five women. He gave Kiddushin, he gave Kesef Kiddushin to one of these five women, the Ein Yodea Ezo Kidesh. And subsequently they got mixed up, and each of them claims that, yes, she was the one that got the Kiddushin. And he doesn't know which one he gave it to. So what does he do? Call Achas Omeris Osi Kiddush. Each of these women says, yeah, it was me that got the Kiddushin. No saying get l'cholachas yachas as a courtesy, so they can go on with their lives. He gives a get to every single one of those five women, because he can't live with any of them, because it may be that he's not their husband. Now, Mistama, if these women are not related to each other, he could actually marry one of them again, because it would be, in this situation, no problem, but they don't want to get married to each other anymore. So in this situation, he goes and gives a get to each one of them, u'minech ksuba b'neim u'mistalek. But he doesn't have to give a separate ksuba. Divi Rabbi Tarfon, he doesn't have to give a separate ksuba to each one. So let's say there's one ksuba of 200 zuz. So he goes and puts the 200 zuz in between the five of them, so to say, and he says, you duke it out. You fight it out to see which one of you gets what. Because I owe one of you a ksuba, and I'm more than happy to pay it. That's what I owe. But I don't owe five of you a ksuba, because they only married one of you, even though you're all saying it was you. So therefore, he puts it in front of them, and he leaves. That's all he has to do, Divi Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Kiva, again, disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, that's not the right way. Einzu derech motz, or here it should be motziato mideavera. This isn't the right way for this husband to get away without doing a sin, because he may not be giving the right wife the full kesuba. So in this situation, he should give a get to all of them. Of course, achitin get ul kesuba l'kol achas v'achas, but he has to give each of them a kesuba in order to do the right thing. And again, another similar case where gazal echad mechamisha. Here we're talking about he stole from five people, one of five people. He doesn't know which one. Ein yodea meizu gazal. Each of them is claiming that he stole from me. So kol echad omer osi gazal. Yeah, I was the one that was stolen from, and he owes me the $200. So in this situation, Rabbi Tarfon again says meniach gizela b'neim. He stole one $200. That's clear. He didn't steal five $200. He stole one $200. So he puts the $200 back between him and Stalik, and he leaves, and he says, "You duke it out. You fight it out. Who gets the money?" Rabbi Tarfon. And again, Rabbi Kiva disagrees. That's not the right way. That's not the right way to get around him doing something wrong, because if he stole from somebody, he has to be machzir hagzela, and he wouldn't be doing this because he'd only be returning 200, and each of them is going to get only 40 bucks if they divide it evenly. So the guy that he really stole 200 from is missing 160 bucks. So Einzo derech, that's not the right way. He says achi yishalim l'chol echad v'echad. He has to give each of them the $200, and this way he guarantees that he paid back to the person that he stole from the $200. Now, again, I want to point out that in the beginning, the first case here, this Mishnah, it's Kidesh. He did something that didn't involve an Aveira. The second case, Gozel, he did something that involves an Aveira. And that's what the Gemara says. Kidesh Ketani, Boal Lo Ketani. Right now, we're working with the assumption that he only did a Kiddushin, and he didn't do Bia. He didn't have relations with them. So it says specifically that he was Makadish them, the first stage of marriage, but he didn't have relations with them. Then in the second case, it says, Gozal Ketani, it specifically said that he stole from them, and it didn't give us an equally good example. Lokach Loktani. It doesn't use the example of Lokach. Did he purchase something from them, but he didn't pay them? Now he has to pay them. He doesn't know who to pay. So notice the first part and the second part are somewhat different. So the Mishnah tells us, Mani Masnisen, who's the author of our Mishnah? It can't be Lo Tanakama, Lo Rabbi Shimon Elazar, of the following Brisa. So now we'll understand what we're talking about when we learn this Brisa. The Tanya learns in the Brisa that the Tanakama holds differently Rabbi Shimon Elazar from Rabbi Shimon Elazar's opinion, which we're going to say right now. We'll see what the Tanakama's opinion is. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar disagrees with his Tanakama, and he says, Lo Nechluku Rabbi Tafun for Rabbi Akiva, Al Shekidish Achaz Michal Mishnoshim, Veno De Ezekidesh, Sheminiach Suba Bnei Mistalik. That in fact there is a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Tarfon in a situation where there just was Kiddushin. In that situation, even Rabbi Akiva says it's enough to just put the ksuba in front of all five of them and let them fight it out as to who gets what, because he didn't actually have relations with them. Didn't do anything wrong. Alma Nechluku, where do they have a machlokus? Al Shabal, if he was Makadish them with Bia, and therefore he did an Aveira. And in that situation, Rabbi Tarfon nevertheless still says, Omer, Miniach Suba Bnei Mustalik. After all, he only owes one of them 200. So the fact that he had relations, so that doesn't change it around. He only owes Suba of 200 to one of them, and therefore he just puts it in between the five of them and he can walk away. And then here, Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Kiva Omer, Ashi Shalom Ilchol Achaz V'Yachaz, that he has to go and give the Suba of 200 to each of them because he did an Aveira. And likewise, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Lo nechluku Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva, al shelokach mekach mechamesh bnei adam. If you purchase something from the five people, you didn't pay for it yet, and he didn't pay them yet. So in that situation, where it was a purchase, he didn't do anything wrong, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Akiva, shminech dmei mekach b'neihem mistalik. All you have to do is put the $200 that you purchased, the purchase price, in front of them and let them fight it out. Lo nechluku, where do Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Tarfon have a bachlokas? Lo nechluku elisha gozal mechamisha, if he stole from one of five people. In that situation, Rabbi Tarfon still says, Shama Rabbi Tarfon miniach gzela b'nei mustalik, that you can just walk away, you make sure there's gzela by putting the $200 in between them. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not right. Rabbi Akiva omer, actually shalom gzela kolecha b'yachad, you have to go pay back each and every one of them. So, what do we see from here? Midikama Rabbi Shimon Elazar b'kideish v'lokach lo pligated. Tanakama holds differently. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that there's no machlokas in the case of Kiddush. There's no machlokas in the case of Lokach because no Aveiru was done. Yet, the Tanakama obviously says otherwise. Mechal, the Tanakama sabar that they're pligi even in those situations. But now, who is our Mishnah? Mani, who's our Mishnah like? If it's going to be the Tanakama, then the Mishnah should have said Kiddush v'lokach. And if the Mishnah was going to be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it should have said Bia Ba'al v'gozal. So we have a problem over here. We don't know who our Mishnah is like. So we're stuck. So Gemara says, in fact, Olam Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the author of our Mishnah. And when it said Kidesh, or my Kidesh, it meant Kidesh Bevia. He did something midrabbanan that's wrong to be Makadesh Bevia. Technically, Kesashtar Ubiya, you can be Makna a woman to marry her. But that's not the proper way. The rabbis didn't approve of that, and they said, midrabbanan, we're going to cons you if you did it. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says as follows, Tano Kidesh, it says over here, Kidesh, to show us the strength of Rabbi Akiva's Shita, that he in fact holds that even when it was Kiddush, which is only in Issa Rabbanon, nevertheless, the Afal Gav the Yisur the Rabbanon or about Konis. Rabbi Akiva says, even though it's only the Rabbanon, we go make a Knas. And in the second part, Tana Gazel, the case of Gezel, Lodiach Kol the Rabbi Tarfon, shows the strength of Rabbi Tarfon Shita, that even the Afal Gav the Yisur the Raisa about stealing is in Issa the Raisa, nevertheless, Rabbi Tarfon holds low Konis. In this situation, we don't make a Knas. And the person is in fact not going to have to pay back all five. It's satisfactory if he just pays back one of the five and let them duke it out. Now we go to the last Mishnah in this Perek. The Mishnah tells us, Ha'ishish hol chahi u'bala lamdinas hayam u'bnoi mehem. This is what we referred to earlier on the Oman Aleph. This Mishnah is going to discuss a woman who goes off with her husband on a business trip to the Medina Sayam, and they have a child, Ubino Iman. So her chazaka at this point in time is that she's not going to be Mechuyevus in Yibam. She has a child. As a result of her husband dies, he's not dying childless, and there will be no mitzvah of Yibam. It will be Eishasach Shalom, Walker Mitzvah, and it will be Osir for her to go and live with her Yavam. Now, in this situation, she returns from the Medina Sayam of Os. She returns and tells us the Amra, Meis Bali, never her husband died, the Achakach Meis Bini, and only subsequently did her son die. In other words, she didn't have a Chiv of Yibam. So, Nanana, she's believing this situation. Rashi explains that the reason why we believe her is because she has the chazaka of being muteris lashok, because she had a child, we knew that, and hapesh osar hu hapeshita. The only reason I know that her husband died is because of her. And therefore, she is the one that says that her husband died, and therefore she's the one who is believed when she says, but I'm not mucheves in Yibam, because that's establishing or reestablishing her chazaka. On the other hand, If she says meis bini first and only the achekach meis bali, then she would not be believed in an emes, because now she's changing the chazaka, and we don't say that she is believed. However, we don't totally ignore what she said. The Mishnah tells us v'choshel and v'rel. We do concern ourselves enough and not allow it to undergo yibum, because she is basically saying that her yavam is chaticha di isura. Her yavam is forbidden to her. It's eishes ach shelo b'makom mitzvah. But she can't go scot-free, so therefore we require to have chalitza v'choletzes v'lo misya b'emes. Then the Mishnah tells us, nitan li bein b'mdina sayam. Rashi explains this case, the Ramasku nitan li bein, b'holcho below bein. She and her husband left without any children, u'b'cheskas asid al yadim. And therefore there is the potential, she left with the chazaka, that if her husband were to die, that she would be requiring ibum. But she says, nitan li bein b'mdina sayam, she returns from overseas and says that she did have a child while she was overseas. And she says, yomra, meiz bini, the child died first, v'yachakach meiz bali, and only then did my husband die. She's also believed in this situation, and that is because, again, hapesh aser v'pesh hiter, she continues the chazaka that she had previously. And as a result, she's not changing anything, and she is believed. However, if she changes around the circumstances to say, meiz bali, v'achakach meiz bini, and I'm no longer, therefore, mechuyevis in yibum, enon emeni, she's not believed. Nevertheless, we do concern ourselves enough to say that she can't undergo yibum because she is saying it's a chaticha esura, and therefore v'choletzes v'lo misya b'emes. Similarly, if she says nitan li yovam b'mdina sayam, what's the case over here? Rashi says shoholcho chamosi b'mdina sayam v'hi holcho b'cheske she'en lo yovam. She went along with her mother-in-law to the Medina Sayam, and her mother-in-law had no other children other than this woman's husband. And now she's saying that while they were overseas, the mother-in-law had another child. And nitan li yavam b'mdina sayam. So that's a change. When she left, there was no chazaka that she had a yavam. But she says now when she returns, omra meis bali, v'yachakach meis yavami, oh, meis yavami, v'yachakach bali. Either way, she is an emanis in this situation because she is, again, hapesh aser, hu hapesh ita. The only reason we say that there's a problem is because she says so, and therefore we leave it with the understanding, the chazaka that she had previously, that she wasn't mechuyevus in yibum, because there was no known brother. So even though she says now there was a known brother to her husband, nevertheless, she's telling us that that brother of her husband is no longer alive, and therefore there is no other yavam, and the chazaka was that she didn't have a yavam, therefore she's believed. But if it's the other way around, if she and her husband, and v'yivama, that's with a ma'pikei at the end, and her husband's brother, her yavma, yivama, with the ma'pikei, go to medina sayam, so then she has the chazaka, since she doesn't have any children at this point in time, that she is going to potentially fall to yibum, and then she comes back and tells us, nebuch amra, meis bala v'yachakach yivami, oh, meis yivami v'yachakach bali. It doesn't make a difference to the order over here, because she's saying that she doesn't have any chiyuv of yibam anymore. It doesn't make a difference whether the husband died first or the yavam died first. She's saying, I'm not mechuyevus in yibam, so she's changing the chazak around einu nemenes. Why? She'einu isha nemenes lomar meis yavam isha tinase. Because we don't believe the woman to go and say that her yavam passed away and that she should be allowed to be married lashuk, that she doesn't have to undergo yibam. Likewise, we don't believe the woman to say, we don't believe a woman to say that her sister died, and therefore she's now allowed to marry her sister's husband, because that's the one error that we pointed out many times in the Masechta that doesn't apply after the death. So therefore, v'lo meisa achosa, we don't believe her to say that her sister died, and now she can go marry her sister's husband, she k'tonis lebesa. Likewise, by the man, the similar situation, we don't believe the man. We don't believe a man to say, meis ochi, that his brother died, and now the brother's wife falls to him in yibum. She yabe mishto. We don't believe that either. In all of these situations, we have to be concerned that they have an underlying desire to go be with that woman or that man, and as a result, we have to be concerned that they're making it up. And likewise, the lo mesa ishto, a man isn't believed to say that his wife died, that he should be allowed to now go marry his sister. She isha achosa. Gemara is going to discuss all of this, and we start the Gemara. Boimine rova me Rav Nachman. Rova is the following shalat to Rav Nachman. Hamezake ge le ishto. Bimkom yavam. If you go and give a get to a woman when there is a yavam around, so a man is on his deathbed and his wife's not around and he doesn't want his wife to fall yibam, so he says to others, I want you to take this get that I'm giving to my wife and accept it on her behalf. She didn't ask you to be a shliach, but by the principle of zochel liyadam shelo b'fanav, I want you to go and accept this get on behalf of my wife. Mahu. Do we allow this to occur or not? What are the two sides of the coin? Do we say kibon disanyolei? since there's an excellent chance that she doesn't like her brother-in-law, doesn't want to fall yibam to her brother-in-law, zechusula, this is a big zechus for her to be a divorced woman rather than to be a widow. And in this situation, she won't fall yibam. She won't have to worry about him holding her over the barrel and not giving her yibam or chalitza. But she's now a woman who's permissible to marry Lashuk as a divorced woman. And therefore, and it's a big zechus for her, and we allow this to occur, that this man should be zoch on her behalf, even though she doesn't know about it. Or on the other end, do we say, oh no, oh Dilma, maybe Kifan de Zimnim der Achmalay. Maybe she likes her brother-in-law, and she says, I'd rather marry him than be a divorcee, and who knows what's going to be. I like my brother-in-law, and if my husband dies, I'd be happy to go be married to my brother-in-law through Yibam. And therefore, if you were to say that the man can accept the get on her behalf, then she would never be allowed to marry that Yavam, and Chovullah, it's Chovin Liyadam Shalo Lufanov, and that's not allowed. They're Chovin Liyadam Shalo Lufanov. So that's the question that Rav asked Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said, Omer lei Tanina, this is our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said, we do concern ourselves with when the woman said that she's changing the chazak around, we do concern ourselves that maybe she's right. We don't say she's definitely saying something incorrect. We do concern ourselves, and therefore, in other words, the Mishnah is basically stating that we're not sure would she want to go and have been with the Yavam, or would she not want to go be with the Yavam in the cases of our Mishnah. And therefore, we take both scenarios into place. So too, Rav Nachman says to Rabba, we have to take both scenarios into place over here. Maybe this is get that the husband gave to the man to be mezaka on behalf of his wife is a good thing for her, or maybe it's not a good thing for her, and therefore, she wouldn't be allowed to undergo yibam with her brother-in-law, but would have to undergo chalitza, just like the cases in our Mishnah. Similarly, Amalei Ravina l'Rava, Ravina asked Rava, what about Hamazaka get liishto b'makom kitata? Is a man allowed to go and have somebody accept the get on behalf of his wife? The wife didn't give permission. The wife's not a shliach over here making the person accept it, but the husband wants to give a get to his wife, and we know that they're having marital difficulties. So Mao, is this considered a zechusva or not? Since they're having marital difficulties, so this woman has been waiting maybe to get a get for a while, so she's going to be thrilled to get the get, so therefore, when she doesn't know about it, the husband can in fact be mezakeh for her to get with another man, because it's good for her. It's a zechus for her, and zoch li'olim shalom b'fanav. Or do we say, no, Dilma, maybe, listen, she doesn't like the husband, but nicha degufo adifla. Nevertheless, it's still better for her to be a married woman rather than being a divorced woman. A divorced woman, she wouldn't be able to marry a kohen. A divorced woman has a stigma, maybe, to it. So therefore, she'd rather be married to this guy, even though their marriage is not a strong marriage, rather than be divorced. So therefore, it would be chavin li'adam shalom b'fanav, which wouldn't be allowed. So what's the din? That's what Ravina asked the Rava. So Rava says, we have the famous statement that we find in many, many different Gemaras, Toshma. We have the following famous statement from Rish Lakish. The Omer Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish says, Tav lemesav tan du, mi lemesav armelu. The word tan means guf, and du means shnayim, like duo. So it is better, Tav, it is better for a woman to be tan du, two gufs, to be with her husband, mi lemesav armelu, rather than to live by herself. A woman would always prefer to be married, that's the presumption, rather than to be single. And therefore, Rish Lakish says that we can't assume that it's ever a schus for the woman to become divorced. And we have similarly a statement from Abaye. Abaye says, just like Rava, Abaye Omar, the shum shimona gavra. A woman who has a very short husband, shum shimona, Rashi says, is gut kinamola. He's very, very short. So to say, he's like an ant. That's why shum shimona means an ant. So her husband is very, very, very short. Nevertheless, kurse becharasa ramula. As Rashi points out, she considers herself a married woman. The nosed is kiso, she puts her chair, and she sits there with all the other great women, and she says, you're married and I'm married. The fact that my husband is a very short person is irrelevant. She's happy to be married even to such a person. Similarly, Rapop Amar, the Natsu Gavra, if her husband is a man who combs wool, Rashi says this is umnoso meusa, this is a very disgusting profession. Menafit Semer, combing wool is a foul smelling thing, and therefore it is not a high good profession. Nevertheless, Tikre Besefe Baba Vitesef, she's more than happy. Rashi elsewhere tells us that this means that she's more than happy, ain't a bosha, she's not embarrassed, lekroso amifson abayis, to sit next to him on the porch of the house, leishisham eslo b'fnakol, in front of everybody. In other words, she's not embarrassed about this. She would rather be married than not be in a situation of being married. Similarly, Rav Ashi Omar, the kulsa gabra, her husband has, as Rashi points out over here, shemetz posul mishpacha, there's some sort of a lineage problem. There's some sort of a pagam or a blemish, some sort of a question about their lineage. Nevertheless, Rav Ashi says, even though that's true, she doesn't be demanding. She doesn't go, as Rashi says, to ask for adoshim, which is a very cheap food and a very inexpensive food. Nevertheless, she doesn't even ask him for anything like that. She's just happy to be called his wife. So from all of these statements, from all of these Amoraim, we see this concept that Reish Lakish said, that a woman prefers to be married and not to be alone, and therefore you can't assume that it's ever going to be a zechus for the woman to go and accept the divorce. Then the Gemara concludes with the following statement, Tana, that these women, they're not so simple over here. These women are actually somewhat calculating. The kulam is zanos, the solos bevaleim. Even though they're very unhappy with their husband, they'd rather still be married because this gives them the license, so to say, to fool around. And Rachmon Litzlan, if they do so and they get pregnant, they can now say, well, this is not from Znus, this is from my husband. And that's what Rashi says elsewhere. We don't have a Rashi over here. This Rashi is from Ksubas, where this is discussed as well. Kol elu shebaleim shvelim umaros lam chiba, that these husbands that aren't of the greatest stature and quality from an objective point of view, nevertheless, these wives show them favor. That's only because they go and commit all sorts of immoralities behind their backs. And then if they become pregnant, when they get pregnant, tolos eso uber b'bal, they say, oh, this is my husband's child. Therefore, they are very happy to have these less than stellar objective husbands, because Nebuch, they can go commit all their immoralities, which if they were single, they wouldn't be able to do. Again, not a very positive way to end off this parak, but at the same time, the principle of Tav, L'meisav Tandum, L'meisav Armelu is a very important halachic principle that's used under many circumstances. Hadron Alecha Isha Shalom, Hadron Alecha Isha Shalom, Hadron Alecha Isha Shalom. With this, we conclude today's share.